Thank you, ladies. I think this is a song that you were reading about recently, wasn't it, Sharon? I don't know if you know the background of the writing of that song, but it's very interesting. Many of you know who Majesty Music is. It's a music company that Frank and Flora Jean Garlock started. Ron Hamilton was their son-in-law. He and their daughter, Shelley, became partners in that ministry. And, of course, Ron just recently, within months, went to be with the Lord. Their son had some issues that she tells about in the book that she wrote, Always Only Good. And my wife has been reading that book, and we did not realize that the son with those difficulties wrote the music. Now, he did not write the lyrics. He wrote the music to the song, as I understand it. Just goes to show how that God can take man in his lowest point and bring out good in him or her, whichever the case may be. And I'm glad God can always use us, aren't you? I'm glad God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. I'm just thankful that God knows what he's doing. Well, I prayed about what the Lord would have me to preach this morning. What can I say to these men that they haven't already heard? Probably nothing. We have some good, strong, godly fathers in our congregation, and I'm thankful for every one of them. What do you say to a group of fathers? Well, the first thing I want to say to you is thank you. I'm sincere when I say that. I'm thankful for good, godly fathers. Now, I did not have one growing up. And I don't. You say, well, I feel sorry for you. Well, don't feel sorry for me, because I have a heavenly Father who took me in, and he taught me many things about fatherhood. And some of those things he taught me, you know, I'm going to teach you. Since you did not have an earthly father, and I'm not saying that belittling my father. I hope my father got saved before his journey ended here on this earth. There's an indication that he did, and I hope that he did. I have zero bitterness in my heart. I got that settled a long time ago. But I sure am glad for a heavenly father. I'm thankful that my heavenly father has taken me in into a great family, the family of God. But I want to say to the earthly fathers that are here, thank you. Stay strong. Stay focused. Your wife and children need you probably far greater than you will ever realize here upon this earth. Only heaven will reveal the place that God has put upon a father to be the priest of his home and to be the leader of his family. And so I'm grateful for the men that are here. I'm going to preach. We've been in 1 Thessalonians, and I thought, you know, well, maybe God would have me to preach a message about fathers and being a father, responsibilities of a father, and he does, but it's right here in our passage. It's right here in our text. And so we've talked about this church, the founding of this church, and how Paul loved these people. You know, Paul loved people. I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. I'm going to preach to you a little bit about loving people. So that's easy, preacher. Well, I don't know. It's not that easy. I mean, it's easy to talk about. You know, it's kind of like in our Sunday school class, we were talking about forgiveness. That's easy to talk about, you know. But when it comes to practicing it, it's sometimes a little difficult. Kind of like loving people, you know. And when I say love now, I want you to understand something. In the text that was read to you, there were three things that we pointed out last week, and I want to point them out again this week, about God's desire for my life, God's desire for your life. Now, it was not just Paul's desire. Certainly, Paul wanted to see these converts. He, his missionary team, Silas, Timothy, they went into Thessalonica. They preached the word of God. They were people saved. A church was started. A church was founded. And now here's Paul. He has sent Timothy back, and he's writing this letter as a result of Timothy's report from the field. He's writing this letter, and he's saying, you know, I'm just thankful for some things that happened. I hate that we had to leave in such a hurry because of the persecution that we suffered there. And so he's laying down some principles. He's laying down some things. The thing that's interesting to me that I really have honed in on is these first three chapters are really not Paul's message to the church. He begins that in chapter 4 when he says, furthermore. You know, these are introductory thoughts. Paul was a lot like me. He has long introductions. And if you follow his preaching, he's a lot like me, and he has long messages too. He preaches till they fall out of window. Somebody say amen. And if I see you fall out, well, then I'll know, okay, I've exceeded Paul. All right. Now, only in that way. Let's see what God would have for not just our fathers. Now, dads, I want you to listen very carefully. I believe this is the key. I really do. You know, if I'm going to be all that God wants me to be, I want to be a good Christian. I just want to, you know, I think if you're a good Christian, you're going to be a good father, you're going to be a good mother, you're going to be just a good person, amen, a good citizen, a good church member. You're just going to, a good Christian's what I want to be. But I'm not going to just become that. I'm going to have to let God. I want you to notice something here. Let's look at these three things first. What did Paul say? He said, I'm praying for you. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. He said, night and day. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. He said, you know, I realize that if I'm going to really get involved in maturing and helping you and ministering to you, it's got to be hands-on. This live stream, and I told you last week, I know there's a place for that, but this distant stuff, Paul said, I need to be there. I need to be there. I want to see you. He said it again back in chapter 2, in verse number 17. He said, I endeavor the more abundantly. You see that chapter 2, verse 17, right in the middle of the verse, to see your face with great desire. He said, I wanted to be with you. He said, but you know, in verse number 18, he said, Satan hindered us. And that can happen sometimes when a church is moving forward and a church is growing. Boy, Satan will try to get in and hinder what God is doing. But I like what he said in chapter 3, verse number 11. He said, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. In other words, God will conquer Satan. Satan hindered us, but he did it just for a season. I don't see Paul in here rebuking the devil, you know, and talking to the devil. He said, I'm talking to God. I'm talking to somebody that can do something about it. Amen. Jude said, the Lord rebuked thee, you see. And so here Paul, I think, is teaching something. You having a little trouble with Satan, don't talk to Satan about it. Talk to God about it. He's wanting to do something about it. Amen. And he said, now I'm praying that God would direct me back to you. You say, well, preacher, did God answer that prayer? Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to ask this question a few times. Did God answer that prayer? He did. There's a second letter. Amen. Paul went back. You find this. He went back through Thessalonica on another missionary journey. And so he said, I'm praying that God would set this up. And I'm just going to say that there's some things that each one of us needs for God to set up in our lives, in our families, in our homes. And we just need to pray and say, now, God, we're depending on you. We need you to set some things up. We don't have the answers, brethren. We don't have the answers. Now, God's Word has the answers, but we don't have them. And so Paul realized this. That's why he said, if you'll look in verse number 12 right after that, he said, and the Lord make you to increase. Now, Paul wanted to increase some things in these believers' lives. He said, I want to get back to you. I want to work with you more personally. I want to personally be with you, to work with you. And he said, here's what I want to do. In verse number 10, he said, I want to perfect. Look at the last part of verse number 10. I want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And we talked about that last week. We talked about what it looked like. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to get in the Word. Amen. You got to trust God's Word. You got to get truth as a foundation. You just can't have a blind faith. You just can't say, well, you know what? I believe, and God increase my faith. I'm going to tell you how your faith will get increased. Get in this book right here. Amen. You get in this book right here, and God will increase your faith. There is no way that knowledge of God and knowledge of God's Word will increase without my faith increasing. Because my faith should be founded on truth. Truth, brethren. See, that's an impeccable faith. Faith that is wavering can be based on many things. But faith that is steadfast and sure is based on bedrock faith. Truth. Truth. And so Paul said, I want to come back to you and I'll give you more of the word of God, which is true. And then he said, that's the first thing I want, your faith. Then he said, second of all, he said, the Lord wants this too. I want this, the Lord wants this. In verse number 12, love. Love. He said, I want your love to abound. You know, what does that look like? You know, how often have you said, you know, I just want to love people more. I just want to love people the way God loves people. You know, how's that going to happen? And so we looked at how faith happens. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh with a trust. The more I know about God, the more I trust him. You agree with that? The more I have grown as a Christian because my faith has grown, and my faith has grown because my knowledge of the word has grown. And it's come through different avenues. It's come from personal study. It's come from listening to God's servants preach and teach the word of God. It's come from God growing my faith. We need our faith to be increased, brethren. As our knowledge is enlarged, our faith will be enlarged. And Paul said, I want to perfect that word there. I want to perfect that which is lacking. Is there some things lacking in your faith? There is. Is there some things lacking in my faith? There is some things lacking in my faith. And only God's word, God's truth, and me allowing God to work in my life can increase my faith. It's going to take more than somebody just getting up and saying, hey, you need to believe more. You need to have more faith. It takes more than that. Amen. Faith is based on something. And biblical faith is based on biblical truth. And so he said, I want your faith to grow. Then he said, I want your love, look at it, I want your love to increase and abound. Interesting words, we'll talk about them in just a moment. And so he said, I want your love to grow. Not only do I want your faith to grow, but I want your love to grow. And then down in verse number 13, he said this, to the end that you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. He said, I want your hope to grow. I want your hope to be purified. You said, what do you mean hope? He said, at the coming, verse number 13, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope. And so here's three great Christian doctrines and cardinal truths: faith, love, and hope. And so I believe, as Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the greatest of these is charity. It's love. And so I just felt like God said, what better subject to teach to the fathers than a father's love? We often talk about a mother's love, and thank God for a mother's love. But what about a father's love? And he said, I want your faith to enlarge, but I want your love to. How do I love more? You need to love more? So I'm good, preacher. I don't think so. I don't think any of us are good. I think we need to love more. I think we need God to teach us to love more. Now, I want to make this very clear. When I speak of love, I'm not talking about some worldly, emotional, sentimental love. That's wishy-washy. That's love that is conjured up by attraction and emotion. I'm talking about the love that the apostle, look at it one more time here in verse number 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. That word love is agape. It's not eros that we get the word erotic from, which is a sensual love. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that in its right place. But that's not the love that the apostle, you know that this word is agape. It's not eros or erotic. It's not even filio or a social love. It's not a sensual love. It's not a social love. It is agape. It's a spiritual love. It's a God-like love. It is the highest, purest form of love. And he said, I want you to reach the pinnacle. I want you to have that love increase in your life. Have you ever gotten to a place in your Christian life where you say, you know what? I just wish I could love people more. I wish I had a, maybe it came in the form of this question. I wish I had a greater burden for people. I wish I had more compassion for what people were going through. That I wasn't so insensitive to the needs of others or the hurts of others. I wish that I thought about more than just what I was going through or what my problems were, what my needs were. And I wish that my mind or my heart could somehow turn outward and get fixed on maybe what other people are going through. Have you ever thought those kind of things? I have. Well, I think Paul is getting ready to tell us how that can happen. I hope you'll listen carefully. Now, it's not going to be very difficult for me to say, but I will tell you this, without God's help, you're not going to be able to do it, nor am I. Amen. But with God's help, it can happen. Now, if I learned something from this, and we'll come back to this as we come full circle. The Apostle Paul said, if you want this kind of faith, you're going to have to pray about it. He said, I'm praying. Isn't that what happened in verse 10? Look at it now. He said, I'm praying. And I'm not talking about just a little old 30-second, now God, help me to have more faith. He said, no, I'm praying night and day. I mean, it's important. Exceedingly. Right? Is that what he's saying? I really want my faith to grow. Well, he's also praying night and day exceedingly that their love would increase and abound. And so he said, it's something you got to pray about. Do you pray and ask God, God, help me to love people more? God, help me to love people the way you love people. Better yet, God, help me to love the things that you love. I want to love like God loves. Amen. You know what? As I stand before God this morning, God knows my heart. God knows all about me, all about you. Do you love like God loves? Did you know that in Romans 13, the Bible says that's the fulfillment of all the law, to love like God loves. You know, our churches would be better places, more inviting, if the children of God loved like our Father. Amen? Do you know God loves? Now, God, listen, God hates sin, but he sure does love sinners. And so don't take what I'm saying now and twist it. I'm not saying that we compromise. You can have conviction strong in your heart and have compassion strong in your heart too. Amen. So what is being taught here? Would you open your mind and your heart to what the Apostle Paul said, I'm praying for you? Look at verse number 12. He said, and the Lord make you. Paul said, I'm not going to be able to do it. Now, I want to be with you. Now, please listen to me. I want to be with you. I want to see your face. I want to come there. I've endeavored to come back. I want to come back. I'm praying God would direct me to you. I want to come and be with you and spend some time with you and preach to you and teach you and work with you. And your faith, back in chapter 1, verse number 3, he said, your faith has begun. Your love has begun. Your hope has begun. You remember that in chapter 1, verse 3. It's begun. He said, but I want to see it grow. And he said, just as your faith has begun and your love has begun and your hope has begun, I want to see it grow to new heights in your life. I want you to grow in this way. As a Christian, when we grow, brethren, please hear me. When I say grow, when the Bible says we're to grow, it's not talking about our new nature. Our new nature is perfect. As newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, not in our new nature. Our new nature has no sin. It's the seed of God. 1 John chapter 3 teaches that. So that's not what we're praying, that our new nature. We're praying about us. Man, this old nature needs to be transformed. Amen. That's what's being conformed. The new nature is not being conformed unto Christ. The new nature is Christ. But there's just something about this old flesh that wars and tugs and pulls back and says, I don't want to do that. I want to do it my way. I want to do it the old way. And God is saying, no, no, you don't belong to you anymore. You don't belong to that anymore. You're mine. I bought you with a price. He says, I want to teach you to believe right so that your life will have purpose. Hey, brethren, when you believe right, you live right. But also when you believe right, you love right. Amen. Amen. And that's what he said here. He said, so in verse number 12, he said, the Lord make you. Now, I want you to understand something before I get into these words. What the apostle's teaching us here is this. And please listen to this. God is the author of spiritual life. We hear it all the time. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can't make ourselves better. We'll never be good enough for God in ourselves. We'll never be good enough. We'll never be able to approach God. We'll never be able to say, well, there, I've attained, I've done it. We'll never be able to. God is the author of spiritual life, of spiritual birth. Amen. But now, does God become the author of that without us asking? No. No. So God is the author of justification. But we have a part in that. Listen, there's a divine purpose, but there's also a human will, and the human will must get involved. Stick with me now. I'm going somewhere with this. So we just don't sit back and say, well, God, make me love more. God, help me to believe more. You got to put some work in. You have to yield your will to God's will. I'm going to have to reconcile my will to God's will. I'm going to have to yield myself to God so God can work through me. I'm going to have to die to me. Yeah. I've got to die. Did you die today? You say, you keep asking that. I keep meaning it too. Did you die today? Did you die yesterday? One of the reasons there's problems in our churches and there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of division is because we got a lot of Christians that should be dead and they're alive. That old man is alive and rearing his head up and causing division when we need to be killing the old man. The old man is what causes church problems, brethren. Not the new man. It's the old man that causes me not to love the way I ought to love. Not the new man. It's that man that I need to be killing that is causing me problems. It's that man that I need to be killing that is causing me to have unbelief and doubt. Whereas if I killed him, I wouldn't have the problem with him that I'm having. Amen. Please, please grab hold of what I'm saying. You say, well, preacher, won't God just do that? Well, did God just save you? No, you ask him to. Have you asked him to increase your faith? Well, won't God just do that? No. You're going to have to do some things. Just like you had to exercise your will for God's will to be done, you're going to have to exercise your will for God's will to be done in this matter of faith and love. Amen. Well, we don't like to put in the work. We say we're not Calvinists, but sometimes we live like it. And so, the same God that is the author of spiritual birth, of justification, he's also the initiator and author of sanctification. If I'm going to grow, now listen to me. If I'm going to get saved, I'm going to have to be saved. I'm going to have to ask. Amen. Is that right, folks? Help me out, church. Come on. Do you have to ask to be saved? Yes. Yes. You have to ask to be saved. Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't just, God just doesn't reach down and say, that poor old sinners, they need to be saved. I think I'm going to save them. No. That's what Calvinists believe. We're not Calvinists. We're Bible believers. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible teaches human responsibility. We have a will that God has given us to exercise. And so just as we ask to be saved, we're going to have to ask for this growth too, which is part of there's justification. Now, we're talking this morning about sanctification, growth, development, maturity of our faith. And so he said in verse number 12, he said, the Lord make you to increase. Now, if God did that without man's involvement, there'd be no need in Paul praying night and day exceedingly. There'd be no need in me praying. I'd just say, go at it, God. And we'd all love the way we ought to love, because that is God's will, right? But since some of it's in our care, well, we've got to do some things. What do we need to do? Well, let's see what Paul said. He said that ye, look at it, God make you to increase and abound in love. That word love, as I've already said, is agape. It's the highest form, purest, most noble kind of love. It is a sacrificial love. It's a love that gives. See, this is the kind of love that God is. See, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. For everyone that loveth knoweth God and is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love, right? God is love. And the love that God is agape love. It's a sacrificial love. He so loved the world that he gave. Listen, God's love is giving. It's always giving. Amen. And so when Paul was praying here, please don't think he's talking about some mushy, emotional. No, he's talking about a strong love, a sacrificial love, a discerning love. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn, if you would, to Philippians just for a moment. Philippians chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul, he really wanted people to love. You know why? Because God wants us to love. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you ought to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Is that what he said, brethren? Can I ask you just a question before we proceed any further? Do you love people? And how is that evidenced? What does that look like? Do you have to tell people you love them, or is it just evidenced in the way you live? Do I have to just constantly keep telling, you know, I love you, I love you? Now, I'm not saying quit telling people you love them. Tell people you love them. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to show them too. Amen. Amen. It's good to have that evidenced in our lives. It's good to have it evidenced. You're in Philippians chapter 1. Look down at verse number 9. And this I pray, and I find this interesting. Here it is again. He said, I'm praying for you. What you praying, Paul? He said, I'm praying that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I just want your love to keep growing. See, Paul knew that this is where it's at right here. This is where it's at. This Christian virtue right here, this agape love, is what's missing. This is the difference in today's church versus the first century church. This is it. We think everyone has to be like us to love them. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you love your enemies. Is that what he said? Oh, and he didn't mean that. Oh, I think he did. I think you didn't want him to mean it. Amen. I think sometimes I didn't want him to mean it. But he meant what he said. You love your enemies. You love those that don't like you. You love those that are not even like you. Amen. And so he said, I want you to love. Notice what this love is, and we'll go back and I'll wrap it up for today. And in verse number 9, he said, I want your love to abound more and more. Look at this. In knowledge and in all judgment. It's a discerning love. You say, oh, you know, love is blind. Not the love I'm talking to you about. No, this love is not blind at all. It sees clearly. It is a knowledgeable, discerning love. Now, the love that I'm not talking about is that blind love, that mushy, I couldn't help it. I just fell in love. Well, you know, that's for another conversation. But that's not the love I'm preaching to you about this morning. We go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And so I want to give you what Paul's request is. He said, I want you to have this love. And he said, you already have it, because when you got saved, when you get saved, you get that love. Because God is love, and God takes up his residence in you. You understand that? God's love is in you. Here's the problem. We've got to get it out of us. We've got to let God's love work through us. The problem is not getting it. I already have it. Amen. Amen. But how am I going to allow it to flow through me? And how am I going to allow God's love to permeate me and to flow through me? Well, he said, I want, verse number 12, are you with me? I want your love to increase. Interesting word. Abound. Interesting word. I want them to be overflowing. Now, how's that going to happen? How is God's love going to overflow? I need to get so much of God in me, in charge, listen to me now, to where I get out of the way so that God can overflow and everything that comes out of me is God and not me. That's what he's saying. John put it this way, John the Baptist. I want him to increase. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen? And so when I get out of the way, God will go to work in my life. The problem is I get in my own way sometimes. Now, I'd like to blame you and other people, and you'd like to blame me and other people, but the problem is, and the plain truth is, we're our own worst enemy many times. Most of the time, I would say. And I just need to get out of God's way, and as our vacation Bible school theme is, let God. Just let God do what God does. And so he said here, I want this to happen. And he said, I'm praying this for you. And he said, may God make you. Will you come to the place to where you will yield to this? Where you will realize this is what you need in your life. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. And then we'll pick up here next week. Now, where is this love as it flows through me, as God's love? Now, listen, Paul wrote in Romans 5, the love of God now is shed abroad in my heart. God is love and God lives in me. If you're saved, God's in you. And so God's love is in you. And it's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. That's Romans 5:5. All right? And so what I have to do is now yield up to God and say, God, I can't love the way I need to. I can't love the way you desire for me to. So I'm going to die to me, and God, I want you to love through me. I'm not going to love these people the way that I need to love them. God, would you love them through me? And as God loves people through me, he teaches me how to love. I'm in training. Amen. God is teaching me to love people the way he loves people. Are you in training? I hope that you are. Do you love people the way God loves people? On this Father's Day, wouldn't it be wonderful if all the dads would say, I'm going to love the way God loves. Amen. I'm not only going to love the way God loves, I'm going to love the people that God loves, the way God loves them. Amen. What a difference in our lives and in the lives of those in whom we demonstrate that love to. He said, I want you to do it in verse number 12. I want you to do it toward one another, one toward another. Love the brethren. I want you to keep that in your mind because I'm going to read some scripture here in just a moment. Love the brethren. Love one another. This is where it starts. And then he said, not just love one another. Are you looking at verse 12? But do it toward all men. Now, the word all means all. Right? You say, well, there's just some people I don't love. Well, no, wait. You may not love some things about them, but you ought to love them. Amen. And I like what Paul does here. This is wonderful. He said, you know, look at verse number 12, the way it closes. Even as we do towards you. You know how we loved you when you was lost there in Thessalonica? We loved you both ways, folks. We loved you when you were in the all men category, and we love you now that you're in the brethren category. But we have to start when you're in the all men category. There's some of you here that I loved you before you got saved, and I love you more now. We ought to be able to love people regardless of what category they're in. But many times, if we're going to love someone, it has to start when they're in the all-men category. Have a burden for people. Love people. Be sensitive to their blindness. Be sensitive to their lostness. And love them the way God loves them. I know that sin can be repulsive. You know, sometimes I just think to myself, I wish that other people's sin was more repulsive to me than my own. Sometimes when I see people doing things like that's repulsive, and the Holy Spirit of God say, yeah, kind of like some things you do is repulsive. Let what they do, let what you do toward me, son, be as repulsive as what they do toward you. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, let me share some scripture with you, and then I'll be done for today. I'm going to read some scripture to you. We ought to love the brethren. You know what I prayed this week? I did. I prayed, God, I want to be rooted and grounded in love. That I may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and the height, or the depth and what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I want to love the way you love, Lord. Help me. Now, that's a tall order. And then I can be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you pray and ask God to help you to love that way? I'm not anything. Listen, God's the one who laid that on my heart. What kind of love is that? Well, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, I want you to follow along with this, and then we'll have prayer. I want you to look, if you would, first of all, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. You know, I found something out I didn't know about 1 Peter. A while back, Pastor David done a study, and I thought it was very interesting as he went through 1 Peter. And I tried to read along as 1 Peter, as Pastor David went through, and I never noticed this, that 1 Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, in every chapter, Peter mentions love. Every chapter. But there's a kind of love that Peter mentions that just really stuck out to me. It's the kind of love I'm seeking in my life. How about you? Look at it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. I'm going to run through these to turn quickly. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. It's an unfeigned love. It's real. It's not a love of hypocrisy. It's genuine. It's sincere. Notice the way he ends it. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Look at that word. Fervently. That's my word. Love fervently. What a statement. Are you passionate about God's people? Are you passionate about me as your pastor? Are you passionate about every member of this church? I hope that you are. Are you passionate about people that are not members of this church? The brethren outside of this church? I hope that you are. He said, love one another. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2 just for a moment. Look in verse number 17 of chapter 2. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Amen. Don't just love those that are Baptists. Hey, if they're saved, love them. You don't have to agree with them on everything. Brethren, if we had to agree on everything to love one another, I wouldn't love anyone. Amen. Amen. Don't look at me so serious. You wouldn't either. Look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. Chapter 3, 1 Peter, verse number 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Know what he said? Look at chapter 4, verse number 8. Chapter 4, verse number 8. He said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, we're just more apt to be more forgiving and more acceptable, not of sin, but of others. And just to love people. And to love the brethren. Chapter 5, this is one dads are going to have a real problem with. So listen up, dads. He said in chapter 5, look the way he closes the book. Greet one another with a kiss of charity. I ain't going to kiss no man. Well, I'm not either. But I sure wouldn't see anything wrong with giving a man a hug and say, you know what, brother? I love you. I love you. And I know the custom of that day. I understand what I'm reading to you. Don't be so macho that you think it's unmanly or not manlike to love another. Amen. I'm not going to go to 1 John. Our time is up. Say, preacher, I closed my Bible, but I didn't want you to close yours. I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I closed my Bible. I probably should have told you, hey, don't close your Bible. Don't follow the preacher's lead. You say, preacher, Paul prayed that. If I pray that, will God answer my prayer? Well, let's see. You in 2 Thessalonians? Are you in chapter 1? Are you looking at verse number 3? I think when you read 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 3, you'll find where Paul says, you know, I thank God that your faith is growing. Is that what he said? And that your love is abounding. He says, you know, I prayed this for you, and I instructed you that your faith would grow, and I instructed you that your love would grow. And he said, I'm hearing good reports. And he said, I'm thankful that it's growing. Would you pray for you as we stand to our feet? Would you pray and say, God, would you help my faith to grow? God, would you help my love to abound? Just as you did the believers at Thessalonica, God, would you help my faith to be enlarged? Would you help my love to grow? You know, the more I know about God, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the closer I grow to Him. And if I draw near to God, God has promised me in His Word He would draw near to me. And as I get near to God and He gets near to me, God teaches me. I sit at His feet and He teaches me. And God teaches me to trust Him. And God teaches me to love the way He loves. Is God teaching you to love? Or are you just taking that upon yourself? And I'm not indicting you. I'm asking you an honest question. I can only pray about what I know I need in my heart. I want to love the way God loves. And I'm going to pray for you that God would help you and make you that your love would increase and abound. One toward another and to all men. Let's bow our heads. I preached a message that God laid on my heart. And I realize today when you preach about love, people say, well, that's compromise. And listen, it doesn't matter to me what people say, I'm concerned about what God says. Brethren, we live in a world that's full of hate and division. We're seeing it in our own country. And we act like it's something that just happened when the last administration came in. Can I tell you, our country has been filled with hate and division for decades and years and years. We need God to help us. We should be setting a standard. We should be setting an example. We have the love of God in us. Would you pray with me, please? Please, as your pastor, I beg of you, let's pray. God, help us to love the way that you love.